Hey guys, thanks for tuning in today. You know this message that you're about to hear. I pray that it not only inspires you, but encourages you to follow Jesus even more. In fact, there are probably people in your life who need to hear this timely word. Chances are you're thinking about them right now. Share this message with them. And listen, if you're watching on YouTube, let me encourage you to hit subscribe, stay tapped in. You know, I also want to take the time to thank all those who support us. We wouldn't have any ministry outside these four walls if it weren't for our friends who come alongside us in prayer and supporting us financially. You know, there are thousands who are benefited by this ministry because of your giving, and we thank you. To continue or to even start supporting our mission to help others and their families follow Jesus, you can give by visiting cfmiami.org/give. We also wanted to update you on something important. Recently, our on-demand services will be available starting Sunday evenings. To catch the entire service, be sure that you're logging onto our live streams when we begin services Sunday morning at 9 a.m., 10:45 a.m., and 12:30 p.m. Otherwise, you'll be catching the service midway through. Enjoy this sermon.
In Miami-Dade County, nearly 63% of children live in households that cannot afford the basics. And 19%, yes, 19% are living in poverty. The reality is that many hardworking families in our city simply cannot keep up with the rising cost of living. In fact, this year, 38% of parents say that they will cut back on areas like food and basic needs just to make ends meet, and will work overtime and even second jobs. You know, as followers of Jesus, this should break our hearts. And church, God has called us to do something. Because of that, we're launching a brand new initiative called Be a Blessing. You see, the idea behind this initiative is that Christ Fellowship would come alongside these families in the city and not just serve them once, but rather develop a relationship with them where we can be a blessing to the same family at different times of the year, such as the beginning of school year, Thanksgiving, Christmas time, and beyond. And if they ever go through some sort of tragedy or trial, they know there's a group of people that they can go to for support and for prayer. You see, over the years, we've been able to serve thousands of families through various community outreaches, and we've seen God move in the hearts of many families. But our desire is not that we would just be a church that serves families one time a year, but rather that we would come alongside these families and serve them above and beyond at various times of the year. And so here's my challenge for our church. You ready? Starting this summer, I would love to see us come alongside 500 families in our city. In fact, I would love to see each of our small groups be part of this Be a Blessing initiative. You know, I've shared with you before that our desire is for every person to be in a small group and every small group to be on mission. And this is such a great way for your small group to be on mission. And the first way we're gonna be a blessing to these families will be at the start of the new school year, where we will not only get their kids ready for school with backpacks filled with school supplies, but we will also partner with Caring for Miami so that their children would have food to eat over the weekend for just $300 for the entire year. This will ensure that these children would have food over the weekend until they're able to return to school on Monday. To sign up your small group, or if you're in an individual family that would like to be part of this initiative, go to cfmiami.org/beablessing. Christ Fellowship, God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing to others, specifically in our city. So let's be faithful to God's call and be a blessing.
What a powerful time of worship. Isn't it good to worship God? Amen. Amen. Well, we want to welcome you to Christ Fellowship. If you're a first-time guest, we want to say thank you so much for joining us today. I want to welcome all of our local campuses. My name is Carlos, and I serve as the executive pastor here. And I want to take a moment and welcome our West Kendall campus, our Doral campus, Redland, Coral Gables, downtown. If you're watching us online, can we give it up for all the first-time guests? Yeah. Well, this weekend, we're wrapping up this series that we've entitled Resilient. We've been going through the life of Joseph. And I don't know if you know this, but for the past year, most of you know this, that we've been going through the book of Genesis. And so this weekend, we conclude the book of Genesis. How many of you have been enjoying it? Yeah, it's been life-changing. And in the fall, we're gonna go to the book of Exodus. the second book of the Bible. We love God's Word, and it's one of my favorite books in the Word of God, and so I believe it's going to be very, very, very life-changing. And so with all that being said, if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Genesis 50, verse 18. How many of you are ready? Amen. Here's what the Word of God says. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God?" Now, this is a verse that I want us to focus on in verse 20. "As for you, Reuben, as for you, Dan, Benjamin, Levi, Judah, my brothers, as for you, you meant evil against me." In other words, you meant to destroy me. You meant to kill me. "But God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." Now let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And this is the parallel verse to Genesis 50, 20. There's a connection here from the Old Testament and New Testament. "And we know that for those who love God, some things, a few things, only the beautiful things, all things," say with me, "all things." Say it like you mean it, "all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose." Amen. Yes, we can give it up to our Lord again. After reading that, I think I'm done. That's it. We can go home. God bless you. Well, you can have a seat now at all of our campuses. And, you know, my lovely wife, Shawnee, and I, we've been married for almost 11 years. And, yeah, the Lord, thank you. The Lord has blessed us with three beautiful, amazing children. Noah is 9 years old, Nathan is 8, and Everly is 5 years old. And children are a blessing from the Lord. They're a gift from God. It is an honor and privilege to be a father, to be a parent, to be a mother if you're a mom. But I don't have to tell you, when you have little kids, some crazy things happen. Some pretty wild things happen. And in our home, it can be a little crazy sometimes, especially they're within 5 years apart from each other. And so 2 years ago, it was right after Easter of 2021, I had found out that I tested positive for COVID. And so I had to do the right thing in quarantine. I was in my room away from the kids and my wife. And so I started feeling a little sick. I started feeling the symptoms. I was body aches and the fatigue and a little bit of low-grade fever. And so Shawnee was outside with our three kiddos. And we have a big yard. So they're playing, having a good time. It's beautiful spring weather. All of a sudden, Shawnee goes into the kitchen. She's there for less than a minute. She's there for like a minute. And my son, Nathan, comes running through the door. And he says, "Fire, fire, fire." He's like, "Mom, fire, fire, fire." Shawnee comes out. And it's not this small little fire on the grass. It's not just paper that is being burned. But this is a massive fire, like almost her height. It was like 4 feet tall. And at that moment, Shawnee became a firefighter. Like, she got the water hose, and she was pulling it out. She's like, "Oh my gosh, hubby is out there sick and dealing with COVID," and she's watering it down. And after a couple minutes, thank God, the fire is completely gone, and she puts it away. It's completely decimated. But then we realize that in our beautiful yard, there's this massive, big black patch of dead grass. That picture there, that's not a shadow of a tree. That's dead grass. And people were walking by there. They're like, "What happened? You guys need help. I mean, bad parenting of the year award for you guys. I mean, come on. The struggle is real." But something interesting took place. Because about 2 weeks later, where that dead burnt grass was at, that black spot, all of a sudden, this healthy, green, vibrant, strong grass began to grow. And it was actually more green than the rest of the field. It was actually healthier. It was actually stronger. It was actually more vibrant than the rest of the other grass. You see, what looked like a bad thing, what looked like a terrible mistake, would look like destruction, actually, there was a good purpose behind it. Now, I'm not advocating for your kiddos to start a fire in your home, okay? And don't judge me as a parent because things happen. But what looked like a very destructive thing, it looked like an evil thing, a bad thing, something good came out of that. Because now the grass was healthier, it was stronger, it was more vibrant, it looked a lot better than the rest of the grass. Now, why do I share that story with you today? Because do not miss the point in all of this. You see, in life, we're all going to deal with difficult seasons. Amen. We're all going to deal with difficult moments. We may face some adversity, and perhaps you are in the midst of all of that. And here's what I want you to understand, that God will take even the bad things, even the difficult things, even the things that we don't like and enjoy in life, and there can be a good, and there's a good purpose behind them.
Amen.
Amen? But who knows? Maybe you're here today, and maybe you're like, Carlos, I'm tracking with you. But let's be honest. How can God take the marriage, my marriage that fell apart, the divorce, what he did to me, how it destroyed our marriage and our family? How can God, Carlos, take that, and how can something good come out of that? Carlos, how can God take something like cancer, such an evil and difficult illness that has killed so many people? Let's be honest, Carlos, how can God take something like that and turn it into something good? How can God take me losing my business or losing my career, being demoted, being fired? I'm unemployed, Carlos. How can God take that and turn it into something good? Well, we're going to find out today as we go through this passage, this narrative in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. And I believe this is going to be so life-changing for you. If you allow God's word to speak to you, you're going to be transformed by the power of his spirit. Amen?
Amen?
So we love to take notes here, and I want you to write this down as your first point for today. God will use all things. I want us to really understand that, to accomplish his purpose. Now, let me give you a little bit of context to set up the teaching for today, because in this narrative, in Genesis chapter 50, Joseph, we learned last week that he forgave his brothers in Genesis 45, even provided food for them. And now in Genesis 50, his brothers, Jacob had died, their father, and now his brothers think that Joseph is going to retaliate. In other words, they didn't really trust that his brother Joseph really forgave them, but he forgives them and he hugs them and tells them all these things. And here's what the Bible says. His brothers came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God?" And here's the powerful verse. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people shall be kept alive as they are today." Now, just to give you a little bit of context here, when his brothers come to him, they're embarrassed, and he says, "Listen, don't be embarrassed, don't be timid, because every single situation that took place, God used it to accomplish his sovereign plan." Now, the purpose that Joseph has was given to him in Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37 is the beginning of the life of Joseph. And God gives Joseph his purpose in life through a dream. And he says, "Listen, Joseph, you are going to be in leadership. You're going to be in charge of a lot of people. You're going to be in a place of authority to the point that your own family, your own brothers, will one day bow down to you." And we see that it took place in Genesis 45, and that happens in Genesis 37. Now, fast forward 13 chapters later, in Genesis 50, Joseph then sees, okay, listen, every single situation that happened throughout my life, you see, when you guys threw me into that pit, when you guys sold me as a slave in Egypt, when I was falsely accused, when I was thrown into prison, all those moments, all those episodes, all the evilness that took place, God will ultimately use that to bring me in the position that I'm in. Now, I want us to understand this because this is so important. You see, we told you that if you really understand the book of Genesis, it will help you understand the rest of the Bible. And whenever you read about the 12 tribes of Israel, because this represents Joseph and his 11 siblings. Remember, God used Joseph as a vehicle to protect not only his siblings, but the entire nation of Israel. And so the entire nation of Israel came from this family. This family of about 70 people will eventually be about 2 to 3 million people. And the tribe of Joseph, in case you don't know this, many of you may know, actually Joseph did not have a tribe named after him, because the tribe was split in two by his children that we learned about last week, named Manasseh and Ephraim. And they were both considered half tribes. And so whenever you read about the 12 tribes of Israel, those 12 tribes of Israel, they represent this family, Joseph and his 11 siblings. And so the purpose that God had for Joseph was to bring about the nation of Israel and to see these 12 tribes being established. And so Joseph tells them, listen, all those moments, God will ultimately fulfill his sovereign plan. And if you're taking notes, this is important to understand. He uses all things, not only for his purpose, but for our good. Amen. For our good. Look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together. Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to circle or underline that statement, work together. Work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Because we told you many times that the New Testament was first written in Greek and then translated into other languages. And that statement, work together, in the Greek is the word synergego. And it's actually where we get the word synergy, synergism. You see, God uses every single situation in life. It is not by random. It is not by chance. It doesn't happen to us arbitrarily. But every single thing that happens to us, synergistically, they work together. Even things that are not blessings. Even things that are very difficult, even things that can seem wicked and even hateful. You see, let me give you an example. You see, sodium in its natural purest form, if you were to consume sodium, it would be hurtful and harmful to your body. You would even have to go to the hospital if you take a certain amount. If you were to take a certain amount of chlorine and chloride, it'll be hurtful and harmful to your body, and it can even be faithful to you. But when you take the right amount of sodium and you take the right amount of chloride, what you get is sodium chloride. And it is the chemical term for table salt. And we all love salt, most of us. We love salt on our French fries. You love salt on a piece of steak. You love salt on rice. You see, two things that can be harmful to your body, two things that can destroy you, when it's the right amount and they work together, they produce something beautiful and good. Can I remind you today, when you see the divorce on its own at face value, oh, it looks like something terrible. It looks like something evil. It looks like something wicked. But then when you see that now you are a stronger believer in Jesus Christ, and what meant to destroy your faith, what meant to shatter your faith, what meant to destroy you as a person, now you are stronger than ever in your relationship with Jesus, because God uses all things and works together for our good. How many of you believe that today? Come on and give Jesus a shout of praise. When you see all the lies and manipulation and the slander and the betrayal, when you see it at face value and you see it on its own, it doesn't look like a good thing, Carlos. It looks like a mistake, but when you see that that is what brought you into the things of God, and now you are in a small group, and now you have people that help you in your relationship with Jesus, and now you serve the Lord, and now your dependency is not on a person, it's not on him, it's not on her, it's not on a God, it's not on a girl. Now your dependency and your joy and your satisfaction and your peace comes from the Almighty Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. When you see it all come together, oh, it makes sense. On its own, being thrown to a pit didn't make sense. The jealousy that his brothers had to him did not make sense. The fact that they lied to Jacob, their own dad, Joseph is dead. An animal killed him. That didn't make sense. But Joseph, all of that was leading him to where he's at that moment. See, oftentimes, it may take a while before we see the good. Goodness, if you're taking notes, takes time to see. Goodness takes time to see. I don't see it now, Carlos. Goodness takes time to see. Look at Joseph's life. Timeline. Age 17, God gives him a dream. Here's your purpose. Here's what I've called you to do. His brothers are jealous. They throw him into a pit. Then they sell him to be a slave in Egypt. For 11 years, he is serving the master named Potiphar. 11 years. Think about this for a moment. He was his father's favorite son. He went from having a freedom. He went from having all the privileges of being with his dad, the best food, the best birthday celebration. You want that for your birthday? You can have it. You want that car? You want that Tesla? You can have it, because they were well-resourced. 11 years, he went from being his father's favorite son to now being a slave in a foreign land in Egypt, because they lived in Canaan. And then he's falsely accused by his boss's wife, which he did the right thing. He's in prison for 2 years. Finally, at the age of 30, he becomes second in command, and he is the right hand of Pharaoh and in charge of Egypt, the land, and the military there. At the age of 39 in Genesis 45, he meets his brothers again, and he discloses his identity, and he forgives them. He provides resources and food and clothing to them and their families. And then in Genesis 50, he's 56 years old. And I think Joseph looked back at his life. He said, oh, you know, Dan and Levi and Judah and Benjamin, Asher, all that that happened when I was 17 years old? You know all that that happened at 28, when I was 30? All those things. God was building me up to be the leader that I am now. He saw the process. He's like, oh, he's 50. He's 56 years old. And it all started when he was 17. 39 years have passed. It finally clicked on him. Oh, 39 years have passed. And it all makes sense now. Think about this for a moment. We read about the story of the forgiveness last week. We learned about how he forgave his brothers and the power of forgiveness. Many of you were, your life was changed because of that story. Think about this for a moment. If Joseph's brothers would have never done what they did, we would never have that story of redemption. We would never have that story of reconciliation, of the power of forgiveness. Listen, I'm not advocating for you to desire and to want for people to sin against you. No, it's not a good thing. It hurts. It's hard to be in a pit. It's hard. But what I am saying, the greater the setback, think about this, the greater the story. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching to somebody in Doral today, in Redland and Coral Gables. The greater the setback, the greater the story. There was a process that he needed to go through. But we don't like the process. Don't take me through that process. We live in a world that detest delayed gratification. We don't like the delayed gratification. We want things now. We cheapen the process, but there's a process that you have to go through. I love to barbecue. How many of you like barbecue? And make some noise. You like barbecue? Maybe you can make some noise. You like barbecue? Yeah, yeah. And I love to do ribs. I do my 3-2-1 method, and those are ribs that I actually made. I just love it. And a friend of mine, several months ago, he invited me to his house, and we had ribs, and he cut the ribs, and I had them. I'm going to be honest, they were not that good. I'll be honest. Pray for Pastor Ray. No, I'm just kidding. No, his ribs are better than mine. No, but I told my buddy, I go, hey, he knew it. He knew it. They come out the good. I go, how long did you have it for? Well, I was in a rush, man, you know, bro. And, you know, I had to hurry, so I only had it there for 4 hours. And I go, you took them out too early. You gotta let the process, it's slow and low. Yeah. If you take the ribs out too early, then it's not tender enough and it doesn't taste as good. And if you leave it there too long, then it falls apart and it doesn't taste like it doesn't feel like you're eating ribs. And then the dry rub gets completely decimated and it doesn't have enough taste and it feels very, very dry. You cannot cheapen the process. There's a process that those ribs have to go through. Can I remind you today, child of God, you cannot cheapen the process. There is a process that you have to go through. Perhaps you feel like you're in a pit. Perhaps you feel like you are in a prison. Make no mistake, God hasn't forgotten about you. There is a moment He is taking you through the process. You are being more sanctified. You are being more holy. He is growing you. You are being a stronger believer of Jesus Christ. He hasn't forgotten about you, but you are in the process. How many of you believe that today? Come on and give Jesus a shout of praise. Tell the person next to you, don't cheapen the process. Tell the other person next to you, don't cheapen the process. It's slow and low. So, don't tell them that. But it's slow. You can't cheapen the process. You know, so you gotta go through it, and there's something that God is doing in your life in the midst of that. So if you feel like you're going through the process, what do you do then? Here's what I want you to write down. As you go through the process, obey God's revealed will. Obey God's revealed will. God's revealed will are the ways of God, the commands of God. God tells us in His Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, forgive one another. Colossians chapter 3, love one another. Show compassion to one another. Show mercy, grace, compassion. All these things are the ways of God. They're very clearly defined for us in the Bible. Do not lie. Do not steal. Do not cheat. And here's what Joseph does. I love this because this is so imperative for you. It's for you to understand. Look at Genesis 39, verse 2. Joseph is now a slave in his master's home. And look what the Bible says. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with them, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. Amen. Think about this for a moment. Joseph went from being his father's favorite son to having freedom, the VIP treatment, all the things that he desires in life, a lot of resources, a lot of land. Now he is a slave with no freedom, working hard from the morning till nighttime, 8 in the morning to 8 at night, out in the fields, out serving this rich man, in a foreign land, Egypt, far away, away from Canaan. And think about this for a moment. In that, Joseph isn't gossiping. He's not filled with grudge, and he's not thinking about what to do next. How am I going to pay back my brothers? How am I going to retaliate against what my own siblings did to me? He's not manipulating the situation or just saying all these slanderous things. No. What does Joseph do? Even in that situation, He works hard.
Amen.
He obeys God.
Yes.
God, you put me in this situation. I was treated unfairly, and God, it's not right what they did to me, but I'm gonna make the most of the moment. I'm in this situation, I should not be here, but I'm gonna make the most of the moment. And it is because of his obedience that he became a servant, and then he became the master of the servants because he obeyed God. And then the Bible says in Genesis 40 verse 8, look at what happens when he's thrown into prison and he's falsely accused by his master's wife. The Bible says that they said to him, "We've had dreams, Joseph, and there's no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." Even in the prison, he was obeying God. Even in the prison, he was being faithful to God. Even though he was falsely accused, he was doing ministry. You see, oftentimes, child of God, we are so consumed, so focused, so infatuated with trying to discover God's sovereign will, which is the future, that we neglect to obey God's revealed will, which is the present.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Oftentimes, we are so consumed and so infatuated with trying to discover God's sovereign will, which is the future, that we neglect God's revealed will, which is the present. And what God is saying, even in the midst of the process, make the most of it. Obey God's revealed will. Here's the next point that I want you to write down today. During the process, trust God's sovereign will. Obey God's revealed will, trust God's sovereign will. Look what the Bible says, Isaiah chapter 25, the prophet Isaiah, he says, "The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, 'Surely this is our God.'" We what?
Trust it.
Say with me, trust it.
Trust it.
Say like you mean it, trust it.
Trust
we trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord and we trusted in him. Let us what? Rejoice and be glad in his salvation.
Amen.
God, I don't know what the future holds. God, I don't know what's coming my way. But as I go through this process, I'm gonna obey your revealed will and then trust your sovereign will. The problem is that the reason why we have a difficult time trusting God's sovereign will is because us human beings, every single one of us, it's in our human nature. We all love control. We all love power. And because of the technology that we have now, we have more power than ever. Think about this for a moment. If you need the phone number of a business, a store, a restaurant to call them, all you have to do is get on your phone and Google it or go to Maps. And in 10 seconds, 15 seconds, not only do you have the number, you have the address, you also have the menu. You can order from your phone. You can find out what time it opens, what time it closes, all on your phone. Back in the days, young people will never know how it felt. The struggle was real because back in the days, you needed a number, you needed a phone book. How many of you remember that? Come on, make some noise, yeah. Oh, the struggle was real. Every single year, you would get it delivered to your home. You would get two of them, sometimes three, divided in A to L and M to Z, I think, right? You needed a number, that insurance company. I was alphabetical order, so I went too far, and then you had to go, let me go back there. Oh, I went too behind, and then you had to try to find it. It took you forever. We have so much power and control now. People don't have to deal with all this now. Think about this. If you want to go to the movies and you want to know what time the movie starts, you just go on the Fandango app and you see what time the movie starts for any movie theater that you want to. Back in the days, you had to call. "Hello, thank you for calling MovieCo." the showing time for Titanic, and your favorite, the movie that you wanted to watch was all the way at the end. You had to wait. Ah. And if you were one of the big movie theaters, there's like 20 movies. Oh, come on, can we fast forward and get to the end? 12 o'clock, 12:15, 12:30, 12:45, 1 o'clock, 1:15. Did he say 1:15 or 1:25? Or 1:45. Be quiet. Let me hear. Let me listen. And if you miss the time, you have to go back and hear it. Nowadays, you get on your phone. You choose what movie you want to watch on your phone. You can choose what seat you want to sit on. What kind of seat? Leather, cloth, reclines halfway, all the way, moves to the side so you can get more action. You can order the food. Popcorn with cheddar or no cheddar, or salt or no salt, or nachos and cheese, just go watch the movie. Just go watch the movie. Seriously, we have more power and control than ever. But I want to remind you that control and power is just an illusion. Woo. Things could be really good right now, and tomorrow they can change. Things can be really bad right now, and tomorrow they can change. And so listen, child of God, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I know who holds my future. And my life is in the hand of the Almighty God, the Sovereign, the Sustainer, the Creator. And if He created this world, if He created this planet that we get to enjoy, and He sustains it, oh, I better believe that He's going to sustain my life. How many of you believe that today? Come on to give Jesus a loud shout of praise. Come on, Doral. Come on, Redland. Come on, Coral Gables. I'm preaching to somebody today. I don't know the future. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how long I'm going to be in this process. But I know who holds my future. And in Joseph's life, here's what I love. Joseph knew, write this down as your next point, that God is with you. God was with them in the process. God is with you in the process. Look what the Bible says in Genesis 39. And I love this because while Joseph was going through so much difficulty, look what the Bible says. The Lord was with Joseph. Yep. And he became a successful man. Genesis 39. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Genesis 39, verse 23, the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because he knew that the Lord was with them. His faith in God was so strong. Not only did he know that the Lord was with him, people around him knew it. Come on now. The keeper. Amen. When your faith is so strong in Jesus, not only do you know it, but everyone else knows it. Nothing's gonna shatter my faith. Nothing's gonna destroy my faith. It can be a fire. It can be a storm. I can go through this. I'm in the process, and maybe I'm having a hard time seeing the goodness of God, but I know that the Lord is with me. How many of you believe that today? Child of God, you're not abandoned. He hasn't forgotten about you. He's not ignoring you. He's not distant. You're not a foreign memory to our Lord. Amen. He's with you. He is for you. He's not against you. He sustains you. Believe that. I don't care what the world tells you. Come on. Don't believe the lies. He is for you. There where you are. And He can turn even the hard, difficult, wicked, evil things of life and something good can come from that. I want to share with you a story of my friend Rick Lujan and Christina Lujan and their family, beautiful family, Sophia and Chris. And I met Rick about 5-6 years ago. I remember when we had our first lunch and went to lunch, he shared with me his testimony, how he went through a very difficult season in his life in 2009. Something happened in his family And he shared how something so difficult, so hard, God would use that, and so much good his life was changed through that situation. In fact, I want to take a moment right now. I want you to watch such a powerful, powerful testimony. Take a look at this video.
It was actually December 19th of 2009. We were around the table. Chris had just finished having breakfast. He said he was leaving. We asked him not to go because his grandparents just got there, but you know, a teenager, he said, I'll go, I'm gonna be back in a little bit. Don't worry about me. And all of a sudden I get a call, but it was blocked. And I said, I'm not gonna answer this call. But they kept calling. So the third time they called, I answered. Is this Christopher Lujan's mom? And I said, yes. He goes, this is Officer so-and-so, and your son was just in a very serious car accident. At the moment that we arrived, we saw a helicopter coming in at the same time that we were arriving. And we approached the lady that was there, and I said, I'm here for my son. He's gonna be wheeled in. They're gonna let you see him before he goes into surgery. I said, surgery, what's going on? So he got wheeled in. They let us see him as he was going into surgery. His head was the size of a basketball, black and blue, but it was all covered. He said, we're gonna do our best.
And proceeded to tell us how he may not survive and we need to start making arrangements. It was brain trauma, and they said there was brain trauma, but he was not specifying what it is, but they're gonna try to do to stop the bleeding in the brain. And he was rushing to surgery to save his life.
And I got into a corner. And I fought. Not knowing what was gonna happen. And I said, okay, God, you have put me in this position. I don't know why, but I'm going to ask you that you're gonna go in there and you're going to heal him and you're going to be his surgeon and you're going to follow everything that these people do. You're gonna put your hands, your body, your everything in there because I believe in you. And I believe in you so much that no matter what this brings, no matter the outcome of this, I will always, always be knowing that your hand is in this. And two surgeons came out and they said, okay, he is stable. It's very serious. We're gonna take it day to day. We're going to monitor him 72 hours. And in 72 hours, we're gonna look to see what happens. So the process of a coma is very slow.
It's like being born again. So the brain is reset, completely reset. Although there's memories there, the brain is completely reset and he had to learn to do everything again.
The accident happened when I was 17 years of age and now I'm an old man at 30 years old. My favorite verse in the Bible, Romans 8:28, which says that only God does good to those called according to his purpose, to those who love him. So if he only does good for you, I mean, yes, it may seem bad at the moment, but just be sure that it's for good in the future. As God is promising that, and God has accomplished, has done all his promises in the past.
So for me, it's been life-changing because him, my sister, my brother-in-law, all came to Christ.
Started looking back at the accident and the things that happened throughout, I could see how God had put people, because I was crushed, he put people in my life, moments in my life, to help me through the and guide me to him.
He's like my father. I could go to him and I can say whatever I want. But if you don't have that solid relationship with him, the suffering will always be there because you need something to hold you up. But he's the only one that held me up until now. It's been, I don't know, 13, 14 years. But if you don't have that, you don't have anything.
Wow.
Mm. Rick and Christina and Lujan and Chris, they're here. You guys can just stand to your feet. They're here. Can you guys stand to your feet? Let's encourage them. I can't even talk because I'm gonna get emotional. But God has used you, bro. My life, He's using you big time. Amen. I'm thankful for your family. I know it's not been easy. Oh, I don't like getting emotional. I know it hasn't been easy, but God's hands over your family's life and yours. Daughter, also Sophia, if you can just stand to your feet as well. And the amazing thing is that you came to know the Lord, and now they're serving. He's a small group leader. He's in part of the student ministry. Shout out to student ministry, young adults as well. They serve the Lord. Sophia is working with Caring for Miami, and Christina is part of leadership as well, serving in small groups and all that stuff, and God's using your family. And so many people have been changed by the story, and you gave your life to Christ, and so many other people have given your life to Christ. So something so hard and difficult, there's good in that. Amen, because we serve a faithful God. I'm going to invite everyone to stand to our feet now. And if you're going through a hardship in life right there, just take a moment and pray. Let's just take a moment and pray. There where you are, West Kendall, Doral, Redland, Coeur Gables, downtown, if you're watching us online, just take a moment and pray. We're not trying to diminish your pain, and we're not saying that it's easy, that it's not difficult, that's not hard, but God is with you and He's for you. There where you are, let me pray. Father God, we just come before you. God, we just pray, Lord, that you help us to trust in you, God, as we go through this life, as we go through the process, God, help us to obey your revealed will and trust your sovereign will. And so, God, I know that there are many people that perhaps they feel like they're in a pit. Perhaps there are people here that their marriage is falling apart. Perhaps there are people here that they just found out that a family member was diagnosed with cancer. Perhaps there's someone here that's still battling with addiction. Perhaps there's someone in here today that their child, their son, who they're raised in the things of Jesus, who was serving the Lord, walked out on their faith and is now far away from God. And so, God, there are people here that are going through so much hurt and so much pain and so much hardship in life, Lord. But I believe, God, that today is the time that they say, Lord, I can't do this on my own, Lord. And I believe in a God that even though the situation may seem very dark, even though the situation may seem very lonely, God, even though the situation may seem very hopeless, Lord, I serve and worship a God that I can feel hope in the midst of my trial. I can feel hope in the midst of my storm. And so today, Lord, give me the strength. Lord, I believe that surely goodness and mercy will follow me every single one of my days, Lord. And I believe that you can turn this thing around, Lord. I believe that you can turn this thing around, Lord. And I believe that because you are a good and gracious God. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Nissi. You are Jehovah Shalom. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Provider. You are my Sustainer. And I give you all the praise. I give you all the worship. If you believe that today, come on, West Kendall. Come on, Doral. Come on, Coeur Gables. Come on, downtown. Come on, watch it online. From the back, from the front. Come on.